Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, live from our studios here in Washington, D.C. Our number to call if you'd like to be a part of the program today is 718-506-1944. That's 718-506-1944. It's a free call if you're in the metropolitan New York City area. And if you'd like to be a part of our program via our chat service, we'd love to hear from you there as well. As we welcome our guest to the program, Stuart Friedman. Stuart does lots of things. He started off as a chemist. He's got an MBA. He's written a fantastic book called Break Free from Job Jail. He's also an international speaker and is the brains and the brawn behind something called the Relevance Factor. So let's say hi to Stuart Friedman and welcome him to the Burke Allen Show. Stuart, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to be with us today.
Hi, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
So you are the chief cook and bottle washer of a whole bunch of different things, so I have to ask you about this background and how one goes from being a chemist to a public speaker and then an author. How do you do all of that stuff in one lifetime?
So first I have to say this. You said chief cook. I just want to let everybody know there's always somebody above you. No matter how many businesses you own and what you do, there's always someone you got to report to. So let's just get that out on the table. Right? Because without that somebody above you giving some sort of guidance, which is a big part of the message, you know, I couldn't have done what I did. So how did I, why, and, well, loved chemistry. So didn't know why I was going to go to college. I was the first in my family. So went to college, pursued chemistry, loved it, did really well, and went as far as thinking about a PhD. And lo and behold, my specialty was in converting iron ore into steel, and we were already importing more steel than exporting. The government said, I don't think we're going to give you a grant. My advisor said, go get an MBA or something. Okay. Got an MBA or something. Did it in accounting. Got a CPA. Went to a very large consulting firm, Anderson Consulting, which is now Accenture.
Sure.
And tried that. But that's where I found my passion, which was putting people together on teams and making those teams perform. So I built about a $350 million SAP practice, a software practice, and I did it by bringing the right people together. Didn't get it quite yet where I was headed. And then I did that for about 12 years. Another company wanted me because they had clients that were building new distribution facilities and liked my approach to building teams. But here's the key in all this. I always knew in the back of my brain I was going to go off on my own, and I always had a niche for getting people together. It was just natural. But, you know, I had no one to support me to pursue it as a profession. My parents always said, coming from, you know, the old country, big company, great benefits. Okay. So I tried it, pursued it, and then my last stint with a very large company, a Fortune 500, I built a $750 million services division for the small business practices. And that was it. I was done. Yeah, I made a lot of money, but you know what? Nowhere near fulfilling. And I left and took all that stuff and said, you know what? Small, medium-sized businesses and startups need what I can do. So all I really did was follow what I was good at, what I was good at naturally, got smart about it, got trained in certain areas in anticipation of leaving and going off on my own. And the only thing I didn't have was sales practice. And lo and behold, what does somebody say to me? Stuart, you're always selling. You just may not be selling a product, but you're always selling. And with that, I had a mentor who kicked me in the butt and said, if you want to play at the big boys, here's what you need to do. And I started it. And I remember that boss I said you always have, that was my wife, is my wife. Without her, I would not be where I am. She said to me, okay, I love you. I'm impressed with you. I see what's your potential. You got 2 years. You got 2 years to create that potential called a profit. And off I went to the races. And after 2 years, I turned a profit of about $13,000. And I want to say this. I will not say I've never looked back, because I will tell you the key, I think, to success is not necessarily looking back, but I always have a butterfly in my stomach waking up thinking about what's next, where the next company, client, speaking gig. It's always about what's next, and keeps me in that mode of, you know, selling or influencing, or how about just getting along with people, being in relationship. And that's how I got where I am. And you know what? If we recently moved to California 5 years ago. I have 2 offices, one in Chicago, one in California. And I'm trying surfing. And look, if I become good enough, become a pro, I'm going for it. But not to worry. I don't think anytime soon.
I love it. Stuart Friedman is our guest today. He's the author of Break Free from Job Jail, and it's available at Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. You can also visit Stuart online at pma-co.com. Lots to get into here with you, and the very first thing I want to ask you about is the subtitle to your book, because I think this is something that causes an awful lot of people who hear messages like yours to go, yeah, but I'm not ready to cut that cord from the corporate world. Mm-hmm. So your book is Break Free from Job Jail, but then the subtitle is 8 Proven Steps to Freedom, and You Don't Have to Quit Your Job. So Talk to me about that. It's one thing to be an entrepreneur, and an awful lot of folks, frankly, were forced into entrepreneurship after the recession.
Yes.
That, you know, they had no other choice, and so they did it then. But you say you don't have to quit your job to have freedom.
Yeah. So many people think the grass is greener on the other side. So many people think it's going to be better somewhere else. But the truth of the matter is that if you don't take care of your own backyard, your own house, if you don't take care of yourself, you can keep moving from place to place. You're going to run out of places to go to. And the point of you don't have to leave your job is, the book, the premise of the book is, first you got to figure out what really you're good at, what your natural tendencies are, get comfortable, right? Be self-aware, get comfortable with them, figure out mm-hmm. where your gaps are, and make the difference where you're currently at, because that's what breakthrough is all about. That's what being an entrepreneur or just going to another business and being an entrepreneur in someone else's business is all about. It's not about finding a new job per se. It's making sure you're bringing everything to the table first, because all you're going to do is keep running from job to job, never taking up, never working on the things that aren't getting you where you want to go. And it doesn't take that long for your next boss to figure out what your capabilities are or aren't. So the key is, take care of business first where you're at. Get comfortable. Know that you can do it. Know that you can turn around. Because I will tell you, in the consulting work I now do in helping companies build cultures, more importantly, change cultures, shift cultures because of the new generation of worker coming through, you know, my concern is we have these people coming in. They're not looking for people with just great new ideas. They're looking for problem solvers. And then they're looking for people who solve problems and then take action. Great ideas are great ideas. But if you can't solve the problem and take action, then you know what? Your value isn't as good as you think it is. And that's why you got to take care of yourself first, so you know what you can contribute. So in an interview, What mm-hmm. my clients want to hear, and it's based on how, you know, I kind of sway and persuade my clients to interview. One of the questions I want to know is, I don't want to know what you can do. I want to know what you can bring to the table. So, you know, we're looking for, let's say, a director of IT, of information technology. And they
right.
say, well, I know how to program this, and I've got this new skill. I just, you know, I've got all the skill in this newest, latest technology. And I say, that's great. What do you bring into the table because you got that knowledge? What's the biggest problem you ever solved because you got that new technology? because
I think that's brilliant. You have to bring a value proposition to the person that you're interviewing with.
You have to. You have to. Now, to the advantage of the new generation, you know, us baby boomers are caught in, you know, reading a resume the old way and thinking that there's talent and skill and you're gonna pay them, they're gonna come on board and do the job you want them to do, and that's not the case. It's not the case because
right.
a lot of these people don't have the experience to problem solve because that's a risk. And this generation is not a bunch of risk takers. They say they are, but they're really not. They don't know what risk is because they don't know what failure is. And that's a real key conversation that I have with my clients now when they hire people.
Stuart Friedman is our guest today. He wrote a book called Break Free from Job Jail, The 8 Proven Steps to Freedom. And here's the big end, you don't have to quit your job.
Yeah.
You can find out more about Stuart on his website, pma-co.com. I think we touched on it here, but just to clarify, you talk a lot about the relevance factor. Is the relevance factor, in fact, what we were talking about there with, you know, a potential employee or a potential, if you're going to become an entrepreneur and try to fill a slot, is that what you mean by the relevance factor?
That is what I mean by the relevance factor. But I want to take it to, I think, what my original intention for pursuing that dialogue is. Unfortunately, our world is where it is. And what I'm not quite sure about is whether this stuff has always gone on. And we just didn't know about it because we didn't have access to the information. But in any case, because of where the world is, I believe that it's all because of a lack of communication. We people say we communicate, and we do. We send messages, we text, we Instagram, whatever that stuff is called. We do all that stuff, but we really don't engage in conversation or in hearing people's thoughts, listening to people's thoughts. So what happens is I say good morning to you, and someone says, what'd you say that for? And you kind of scratch your head, right? Has it happened to you?
Absolutely.
You know, and you're kind of scratching your head. Wow, I was being nice to them by saying good morning. I was being a good citizen. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what the recipient of your message thinks. And that's the relevance factor. That's the breakdown. We don't take time to think about who our audience is. We don't take time to think about what their scenario is, et cetera. Now, I'm being a little extreme with the good morning, but it does happen on occasion. But that's what happens. We are in your radio station is blog, right? Is Blog Talk. And the
that's
radio
right.
station that emanates throughout the world is louder than it's ever been, and the millennials don't even get it because they probably don't even know what FM is, but WIIFM. It's a radio station that's broadcast. It's never going away. It's called What's in It for Me. And if we don't realize as communicators and people that change the planet, if we don't realize that we're always talking against that radio station, when we're with other people, our messages will never get through, and it's pretty clear they're not. So the relevance factor is just that. It's the listener's relevance factor that we have to be aware of. I'm on this radio show. I have to speak to your relevance, the relevance of your audience, which I pray I'm doing. And if I'm not, I get feedback that tells me, oh, okay, I wasn't relevant. So when people speak to, oh, I'm in boring meetings, it's not that they're boring. They're not relevant. So a quick thing with my clients, when I see people not engaged, it's not relevant. We stop the meetings right there because we're growing, we're shifting a culture. Okay, why are you not engaged? Well, this doesn't matter to me. Okay, why not? Well, sometimes what we find out is it is relevant, but the leader, the boss didn't communicate how it's relevant to them. So you always have to be in that mode of what is that person thinking? What's on their mind? Because that's what I have to figure out if I'm going to get my message clear. So one of the things I like one of my speaking modules that I do is nobody cares what you have to say. If you want to learn how to get people to hear 100% of your message, consider the relevance factor. Because people don't care what we have to say anymore. They just don't. There's too much information. I call it customized distraction. And what do I mean by that? I go on the internet every morning, and my favorite website, just because how I'm wired for information, is MSN. It comes to me in a way that suits me. It works. It's comfortable. I get it. Okay. But what website do you open up to, and what website do many of your audience folks open up to? I guarantee you, for every person, there's a different website. How do you manage through that? How do you get people to hear your message when they're all hearing it a different way? Got to find out what the relevance factor is. That's the only way.
Stuart Friedman is our guest. We're talking about the relevance factor in his new book, Break Free from Job Jail, 8 Proven Steps to Freedom, and you don't have to quit your job. And if you'd like to be a part of the program, we always love to hear from you. It's 718-506-1944, or you can be a part of our quick chat. And I do have a chat question for you. And I'm going to sort of paraphrase. This comes in from Bill, who's listening in Oregon today. And Bill made note that you mentioned earlier in the program, Stuart, about networking. And he wants to know if networking is the same as building relationships to you. And I'd like to expand on that a little, because I find networking in and of itself to be a very cold and personal thing. I think it really is about building up a relationship. If not a friendship, certainly a business relationship. So what's your take on networking in and of itself?
First, Bill from Portland, thank you for the question. And obviously I touched on his relevance, so we have a little success. That's awesome. Thank you, Bill, for the validation. Networking to me is, I don't want to necessarily say it's cold, but networking to me is just a process. It's the term for a process to bring people together to meet one another. What the intention is, I cannot say, because every person has a different intention. I'll go extremes. I like to work in extremes because it sort of shocks the system and helps get a point across in a short period of time. But you can go to a networking event that has great food, right? We used to do that in our early years of my first job. We would leave Thursdays, go to a networking event we knew had great food. Okay, that's one reason to go. We went with our friends. There's a networking event to learn about an industry or a topic, and there's a networking where you're going to actually meet people in either for friendship, relationship, or business. But here's the key on all three approaches. Regardless of where you're going, you must have a why. You must have an intention behind why you're going. And once we get people to intention, then the discomfort of networking, which many people feel, can dissipate. So if you're going to a networking event, you know what? Sit down, think about who's going to be there, who might be there, who are people I want to meet, you know, what positions, which companies, and have the intention to do that. And it's tough, and it's very, it adds a lot of insecurity. A lot of people have you know, difficulty, challenges in a room full of strange people. And even for me, I say that given a lot of people think I'm a natural sometimes, I am not. I have to really work at it. But what I have found to be true is, one, what's my intention? And two, I'm going to throw in the relevance factor. I'm just going to give you the silver bullet, Bill. When I go to a networking event, sometimes I find them uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm talking to people who don't want to talk, and that makes me uncomfortable. So what I recommend people to do is you go up to someone and tell them why they're there. That's what we don't do. We don't express what's on our brain. We don't say, so Bill in Portland, so I'll say, Bill, I came to this networking event to meet some people in my industry. Maybe they turn out to be clients, maybe not. Why are you here? Now I'm going to get his relevance factor. And you would be surprised how much people will share. The moment you say first who you are while you're there, and then you ask that person the same question. Now, a little extreme, I like to call it humor. I go to family events for the same reason. I mean, when I go, I ask the same question. Really? Well, why did you come? Now, people look at me kind of silly, but it breaks the ice.
Sure.
Right? It gets a common conversation going. And Bill, in Portland, let me help you with this as well. Ever get stuck in that conversation you want out? Just say, so, Bill, thank you for sharing. And I came here to meet a lot of people, so have a good night, and I'm going to go meet some more people. I got to tell you, you let more people off the hook that way than you cause pain, because people don't practice and they're not naturals and so on. And you don't have to take their business card, and you don't have to feel guilty if you don't offer yours. If they give you your card, fine. I mean, if they give you their card, fine. You don't. There's, you know, everyone gets caught up in what should be in the rules and about failing. Gosh, you're going to fail. You're going to fail more times than you're not. So go. Tell them why you're there. And if you learn, hey, you're in IT, hey, the reason I came here, Bill, is I need some IT help. Give me some of your background. Let me share with you kind of what my situation is. What would you recommend? Who would you recommend? That's networking, and that's getting to their relevance factor. People want to talk about themselves. It's their favorite subject, so get them into that conversation. That's why I'm, you know,
it's much
I'm
like being a
show.
Good interviewer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Stuart Freeman is our guest
fun.
Today. His company is Progressive Management Associates, and they're online at pma-co.com. Stuart, we've got just a couple of minutes left. When we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about a big trend in most metropolitan areas, telecommuting, and how you can still work on Teams while telecommuting. We'll be back right after this on the Burke Allen Show.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this now for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau, you did it!
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
Live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. on tour this year. Tour dates at LandauMurphyJr.com. Hi, and thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, 718-506-1944. A few minutes left with our guest today, author Stuart Freedman. His book is Break Free from Job Jail, and you can find out more about him at pma-co.com. He is the chief cook and bottle washer at Progressive Management Associates, although he says you always have a boss or someone that you report to. A huge trend in major metropolitan areas, including the one that we're broadcasting from, Washington, D.C., where traffic is always a challenge,
yes,
is telecommuting. You know, many huge companies, like your former employer Accenture has a huge operation here, they encourage telecommuting now. And one of your strengths and one of the things you say really makes the global workforce successful, when it is successful, is working on teams. And you say in your book that is crucial. How can you do that if you're working from home in your pajamas?
And your bunny slippers?
Exactly.
So telecommuting is not a way to conduct business. So let's get that out on the table. Telecommuting is simply a mode for people to get things done, et cetera. But it is not a way to do business. We have learned more on the downside that the lack of human interaction has created a lot of conflict, because what has happened is we don't know how to deal with conflict. We don't know how to deal with disputes. We don't know how to deal with failure in a team, within a team. And what happens is the more we silo ourselves, we don't know what's going on. We're not as aware of all the influences that can impact what we do. telecommuting, in my opinion, is that effort that says, I need to work from home because I really got to get a lot of stuff done, and I'm much more productive at home than I am in the office. Well, I gotta sort of align work and school. School isn't just about getting A's. It's your socialization, maturation at work as well. So you know, going away to college, let's say, is not just about getting good grades. If you can't deal with another human being coming out, where's your value in a company of a lot of people? So the same thing with work. If you can't deal with people to get stuff done, to collaborate, unless of course your job is an individual contributor, if you can't do that and you don't practice that, then you know, trying to get stuff to the finish line, is you're creating more barriers. Not because you're actually creating the barrier itself, is because you don't know what barriers are out there because you're working in a silo. So as I recommend clients, if you're going to do telecommuting and you have people out of town, you know, literally who live, you know, thousands of miles away across country and so on, then what I recommend is they put in their P&L, they take some of that travel and they set up scheduled meetings on a consistent and constant basis, because the interaction, that emotion, all that stuff is so vital to success. To get it out on the table and see why someone might be so passionate about something. When you're on the phone or a video conference, people's distraction is the actual technology, right? Something's wrong with the phone, you can't hear, there's a blip. More importantly, when people are alone, they're easily distracted. How many times have you heard the printer go off on a conference call? How many times have you said, Burke? Burke, you there? Yeah. Oh, sorry, I have my mute on. Right? So what I share with people is, okay, let them telecommute, let them come in later, let them leave later, let them come in super early, whatever they need to do, but make sure there is common time set with intention to meet on a consistent and regular basis, to share ideas, to help in the problem solving. You don't get brilliant decision making in a vacuum. You only get brilliant decision making when there's a collection of individuals sharing what's on their mind and building on each other's thoughts. That's brilliant decision making. Now, from my perspective, I can't think of a CEO, owner, what have you, that doesn't want to be involved in brilliant decision making. But brilliance doesn't come from one person. It comes from a group of people. So let them telecommute, but you got to have that scenario. This isn't about their total comfort. This is about productivity and making things happen. And the moment you don't bring people into the office is the moment you lose that control. And I don't think that's the intention, but that's where it ends up going.
Our guest is Stuart Friedman, and as we wrap the show up, Stuart, at the top of the program, I asked you how chemistry played into you becoming an author and a speaker, and I think really it does, because at the end of the day, what you talk about is that chemistry between people, and it's
people.
Something that's being lost in today's world. Working on teamwork and ways to get freedom, and the book is called 8 Proven Steps to Freedom, and you don't have to quit your job. The author is Stuart Friedman. You can visit Stuart Friedman online at his website for his company, Progressive Management Associates. And that website is pma-co.com, pma-co.com. Stuart, thanks for taking time with us today. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you, Burke, and again, for the opportunity.
You bet. Live at our studios here in Washington, D.C., I'm Burke Allen. Thank you so much for listening. Now go out and make it a great day.